God will never leave his family unaided. Every time he gives us his grace and he shows us the way to go, that the salvation won for us will be ours. And so today, calling us to the way of perfection, he gives us a model family. A family whose footsteps is always geared toward the fulfillment of the divine will. Beloved in Christ, God works within the structures of the family. And today, it has been revealed to us that wondrous structure of the Holy Family. Beloved, when we read the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 16, and St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4, both of these authors emphasizing the virginal conception and birth of the Savior would have the order of the members of this Holy Family arranged with the Blessed Virgin Mary being mentioned first. Just as the shepherds went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus. That has been the scripture arrangement of the Holy Family members. However, today, Joseph becomes a central figure in the gospel reading. Just as St. Matthew in his gospel, in the genealogy of Jesus, narrating as to how the Savior was born, would have Joseph assume that central role. The one to whom, this time round, the angel speaks, and not the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is precisely so, because Joseph in this narrative is the head of the Holy Family. And not just a head of the family, but the most responsible figure for the well-being of the Holy Family. And so today he receives on three occasions in a dream the message of the angel. The angel instructs him as to how he could save the entire family from the assault of Herod and all their enemies. Beloved in Christ, it's so beautiful to discern that Mary cooperated so well following the leadership of Joseph. And by doing so, Mary does not diminish either in glory, in stature, or in dignity. In that spirit of obedience to the direction of her husband Joseph, Mary, together with Joseph, descends the divine will meant for the salvation of the whole human race. My dear family of God, this is the modern family being presented to us. A family that discerns the voice that entreats it. A family that remains obedient to the direction and directives of God's messenger, Angel Gabriel. And today, both of them are called to offer a greater sacrifice. Mary had just given birth to a child. Joseph, in a dream in the night, had to wake up in that sacrifice of taking the family, his wife and the child, freeing from the sight of the enemy to the land of Egypt for refuge. Joseph understood the will of God. Beloved in Christ, This is the model family given to us, most especially those who have been called to marriage and family life. I always tell couples that the moment you say yes to your partner, it's no longer you, and it's no longer him. It's no longer her, and it's no longer the man. You come together in responding to the will of God to form a new self. And so it's not my personal interest and desire. No one goes into this state of life with a package, with a personal interest, because it is a call to a sacrifice of your old self, of his old self, in order to form a new self. And that new self is geared toward responding to a divine will. And this is what marriage is. And this is the model that Joseph and Mary always offer us. Beloved in Christ, Mary wouldn't say to Joseph, "Who are you to instruct me to wake me up in the night for us to walk and flee from the land of Israel, our homeland, to a fallen land? It's me whom the mystery of the incarnation was announced to me." Mary wouldn't say that. "Who dare you to wake me and my child up at this hour, unholy hour, to risk our life in the night and flee from our motherland?" But in that spirit of an obedient faith, Mary could discern the voice of God in the direction of Joseph. And obediently, she obeyed and cooperated. Both of them responded to the divine will, first and foremost, for the safety of the Holy Family, and also for the accomplishment of the salvation of the whole of the human race. The defeat of Herod would be a prefigure to the defeat of the greatest enemy of the human race, sin and death. And tonight, Mary and Joseph, together with the child Jesus, responded to the divine will. Beloved, there's one virtue that reigns in the hearts of the members of this holy family: the virtue of obedience. Joseph, when he got to know that Mary was with a child, deciding to divorce her quietly, received in a dream the message of the angel. In the spirit of obedience, he did exactly what he was instructed to do. Mary, at the moment of the annunciation, submitted her will to the divine will when she said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy will." In that spirit of obedience, it is the same virtue of obedience that reigns through the life of their son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a family that obeys the voice of God, a family that seeks the divine will to be accomplished. Beloved in Christ, fathers in family, you assume the role of Joseph when you prayerfully discern God's will for your family. When you make every sacrifice for the well-being and the safety of your family, it is in that spirit that you come to resemble Joseph. Mothers in the family, you've been given the Blessed Virgin Mary as your role model. You assume that position of Mary when in the spirit of obedience and submissiveness, you seek the will of God in the leadership of your husbands, the head of the family. In the life of Mary and Joseph, there's no trace of strife. There's no trace of competition. There's no trace of tension. Both of them agree together in the discernment of God's will for them and for the whole of the human race. And it is in this light that couples would succeed. When the two of you, in one accord, seek God's will in your family, seek God's will for the bond of marriage, seek God's will even when there is a trace of disagreement. When you don't hold firmly to your position, but you are ready to make a sacrifice for the will of God to be accomplished. My dear family of God, it is when parents are at peace, then the children can also learn after them. And today, addressing each and every one of us, the liturgy does not leave anyone out. My dear brothers and sisters, it's always edifying on the Feast of Holy Family to be addressed by Ben Sirach. He reflects extensively the fourth commandment, the first of the Decalogue, that is directed toward the loving of our neighbor, and speaks to the heart of the youth of the Israelites who had been in the land of Babylon and had given their heart to the cultures of the Greeks, to the neglect of the commandment and the true worship of Yahweh, particularly their rebellion against their fathers. And today, reflecting on that commandment reveals to us that it is one commandment that comes with promises. The promise of happiness and long life. And in this text, Sirach states it so well that any kindness shown to our fathers in their old age becomes, as it were, an accumulation of a treasure. You opening a bank account and not just leaving it empty, but making savings towards your own future. And so any sin that is forgiven a father or a mother in their old age becomes a means of God's own mercy and forgiveness for your own sins. Beloved in Christ, God will bestow his blessings of happiness and long life upon everyone who obeys and cares for the parents in their old age. And so today, all of us have been called upon as children to be kind towards our parents in their old age. In Ghana, there is a wise saying that the strength of an old person is the tongue of that person. Because as you grow and advance in age, you lose your physical strength. But whatever that old person utters comes with power. And it's always edifying for your parents to bless you instead of making utterances of curses. When we take good care in their old age, it becomes a blessing upon us. My dear youth, let us humble ourselves to learn from the experiences of the old age. Because where we are, they have passed that stage. But where they are, we have not been there yet. We are now struggling to reach where they are. And so when we talk of experiences, you don't come in with youthful exuberance. Yes, we are youth. We have the energy. We have the strength. But let us not forget that a time will come. If God grants us long life, we shall be where our fathers and mothers are. And so let us be patient with them. It's a natural course. At times, people grow in age to the extent that even when they have food in their hand, they will still be complaining of food. That they are hungry, they are not being fed, they are not being taken care of. It's never their fault. It's as a result of nature growing in life. You lose your faculty. You lose your strength. In such a situation, it takes us to be more patient and enduring with the old age. Today we are praying that at this feast of the Holy Family, all of us who form members of that spiritual family of God, being fed by the word of God, will learn to imitate the good example of this holy family. Jesus Christ, our brother, learned to obey his parents until he accomplished the work that God, his Father, entrusted to him. May he fill us with his grace, that in that obedient faith, discerning the voice of God, giving ourselves to his will, and being led by his divine word, we shall possess eternally that gift of his eternal life. May Saint Joseph and Blessed Virgin Mary intercede on our behalf, that where they are, one day we shall also be with them. And may the peace of Christ reign over our hearts, and may the love, which is the bond of all perfection, be our hallmark, that loving one another, you will live after the good example of the Holy Family. May God bless us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.